Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you here this evening, the 12th of September, 2008. On the East Coast, it's already the 13th, as well as in the Central Time Zone. We have a new guest on Evident Footprints tonight, someone who I have wanted to have on the show for some time, and he has a very, very important message that he's going to be bringing to us. Now, we've talked about these topics throughout the past several months in light of what the government is doing and the amount of clamping down they're engaged in regard to our freedom of speech, our basic rights, our sovereignty, the financial games that are going on, the spraying of our skies, the poisoning of our foods, our water, our natural habitat, and the toxins they give us that they like to call medicine. It's endless, the things that are going on, and we have rampant, and I mean rampant, theft in public office via the central banks, via the Federal Reserve, via the U.S. Justice Department, and it seems like the whole nation is falling apart. And we can take a proactive stance. We can do something about this. We're going to talk with tonight's guest about what is going on and what we can do. He is an author. He has written a piece called The let's say it's called America Fall from Grace and Power. He is a talk show host. He has his own show on Republic Broadcasting Networks. It's on Saturdays, and it is called Voices from the Heartland. He has his own website, theheartlandusa.com. He's a prolific writer, an ex-Kansas State trooper, and he prefers to call himself a former peace officer. And with that, we'll get into more of his background and his qualifications. My special guest tonight, Dr. Greg Evenson. Greg, how are you tonight?
Just fine, Don. It's great to be with you and your wonderful audience. And thanks, folks, for tuning in tonight. I think you're gonna have a little different viewpoint of law enforcement, perhaps, after this show tonight.
Well, Greg, I didn't mention that you're also, like me, very involved in music and quite accomplished, so we can throw that into the mix. We may talk about music a little bit tonight, too.
Well, that would be fine with me, Don. You know, some people have said that's my softer side, and please don't take that wrong. That's a creative side, and God gave me a gift, I believe, that spans that gap, and so I have made several recordings, and been a good ride, Don, so to speak, but I'm sure happy to be with you tonight.
Well, happy to have you here. Now, I called you on rather short notice, so I'm grateful that you could appear on the show, but it was always my intention of having you on anyway, so I think, you know, in the Lord's timing, it happens when it's right, and so I'm happy you're here tonight. We were able to get Jim Murray to reschedule this week. He was on Wednesday, so that we could fit you in to my schedule this week.
Thanks to him as well.
Now, if you would give us a bit of your background, I think you could state it more eloquently than I have. And of course, you know a lot more about yourself. But what brought you to the point where you felt compelled to have your own talk show and do the writing that you're doing? Give us an idea what your background is.
Well, Don, I guess, you know, everybody reaches a point in life, or at least I have. I shouldn't speak for anyone else. But I certainly have when I have been so inundated and so convinced that something had to be done. I could no longer sit quietly by and let somebody else carry the freight. Someone else standing in the gap when I should have been there, to use a well-known phrase. And I just felt, with the kind of unique background I had, the perspective of having traveled a good portion of the world, using my voice, I sang overseas in classical sense, and meeting the people I did, and being involved in that, and coming back to the United States, and seeing what was happening, seeing the transfiguration, if you will, of my nation, my country, my home, right in front of my eyes over a period of time, I said, this is not good. I know the system from the inside, and I need to start telling people about it. So I began writing, and to make this segment end here, I just felt that I did have a unique perspective from law enforcement and from education, and to bring those both together and share with people why we are where we are, in my view. And the ultimate outcome of that was something that I just felt I needed to do, even if it meant some risk. It was certainly worth it. We've had a lot of good patriots put their life on the line before me, and I thought the least I can do is do what I can to open that up.
Well, and you have. I've listened to your show. Of course, I've been a guest on your show as well.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. A wonderful guest. And thank you for standing in at almost a moment's notice not too long ago. So believe me, I appreciate this. And you were just marvelous. And we had great response. People saw the depth and the warmth and the information side that came through. It was so compelling. That I tell you, it was a real treat to have you, and so it's just good to be able to be with your folks as well tonight.
Well, we're probably going to touch on a lot of things. Of course, you know, I just completed my Obama piece, and that's going to that's going to press over the weekend. We'll say at the latest Monday, it'll be going out to the folks. And it'll get posted to my website as well as the Idaho Observer website. And there is just an incredible amount of information that no one has ever heard that's going to come forth as to who this man is. And much like the other research that I've done, it's difficult to handle it in the context of a 1 or a 2 hour show even. You know, someone is going to sit down and read and probably reread the whole thing again. In disbelief that someone could have such a distorted viewpoint of who they are and put that information out in books. And of course, when they hear the things you're going to talk about tonight, they're going to feel the same way. So we're not asking anyone to believe us. We encourage folks to do research. This paradigm that we're in, this matrix, is based upon belief. And of course, we've been lied to, as I'm sure you'll agree. So
I do, and Don, I the standard at which you operate and the requirements for you to publish are so exacting that I'm just convinced that people are going to look at this and say, man alive, this is not a choice. This is really not a choice at all. And so I don't have to be partisan or nonpartisan to tell you folks that when you read what Don has put into this, you're just going to be astounded. And you need to let your mind and your heart move the way it needs to go, and don't look back. Go ahead with the information you have and vote accordingly.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about that. Now, we've seen Ron Paul and how he was treated. He had quite a bit of support. He was raising more money over the Internet from the public than any other candidate, and doing it quite miraculously over the span of a couple of days. And the media gave him the shaft. They ignored him. Of course, we know the media is nothing but a propaganda machine, and so we cannot expect to hear the truth from the media. We have to resolve ourselves to that fact. Would you comment on that a bit, Greg, from the perspective that you come from?
Sure. I don't think there's anybody listening tonight or that will hear this in the future that won't agree that there is, without any shadow of a doubt, a controlled media, a manipulated media, and a manipulating media. They accomplish all three purposes, and they do it for one reason, and that is that the ultimate goal of media is to justify and to ply into, pry and to ply the mind of the listener into accepting an agenda and a pathway that they have helped develop hand in glove with those that rule us and rule the world. And that includes, of course, the elite families, the bloodline families of Europe, and of course, the same in the United States that are branches of that. The Council on Foreign Relations, which is probably the most diabolical organization ever to have been created, some over 3,000 members in all walks of life that control everything that you and I do. And the pathway that our government takes, our nation takes, and that the media puts out in front of us and says, this is right, this is correct, or this is not right, or this is not correct. And we have just become so inundated, so used to that over now decades of time, that it is just who we are, what we are, and as a result of that, everyone involved in this movement, including the law enforcement folks, have been sucked into this giant web of intrigue, and they are part of the whole problem, if you will, and yet there are significant gains being made within the ranks of law enforcement people, and I'm a graduate. I'm an alumni of that association. Mm-hmm. And for a brief time, and I should stop here, Don, because I'm getting on and on here, but I should give you a break. But just
no, keep going.
Thanks. Just let me finish by saying that I started my career as a Secret Service, United States Secret Service, special agent appointee. I had made the grade, made the tests, was accepted, had my letter of acceptance, and was on the boards. And it was during that time when they were hiring folks to help presidential or protect presidential candidates back in the early 1970s. Unfortunately, I was budget cut before I could actually take my post because of the cost of Vietnam and some other things. But I went from there to state-level law enforcement. And although that was my one thing that I wanted to do the most, I was active at state level, and then I became a Kansas Marshal as well. So over a period of several years, I was involved, and I saw from the inside out, up and down, sideways, and everywhere you can imagine, where law enforcement went. And it went from being peace officer status. I was there to keep the peace and help people, officer friendly, if you will, to a manipulated, mission essential military mindset that we have today that has ground our local police into the dust and left us as victims, really, of what we have now, and I'll stop at that, and I'll pick it up in just a moment. But there's an agenda at work right now.
Well, knowing what I know about mind control and the various programs that they've had, and really this goes back a number of years. People would say, well, this begins with the CIA. Well, before the CIA, we had the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, and prior to that, we had this covert machination that was working through our schools, through our media, and through our government called Tavistock Institute in England. And they basically took over the mass consciousness of people by conducting polls, And then formulating opinions. But these polls, and I don't know anyone who's ever been polled. In fact, if I've ever gotten a call from somebody trying to poll me, I hung up on them. I didn't, you know, they called on a Sunday night after 10 o'clock.
Sure.
But I don't know any people who have been actually polled over a question that you could give an honest answer. We're given these figures, we're giving these scenarios, and so there's, back here on Evident Footprints. We apologize for the interruption. Of course, I don't know if it's appropriate for us to apologize or if we should ask the NSA to apologize. That said, we have our guest, Dr. Greg Evenson, with us. And Dr. Evenson, I was basically just talking about how the mind control has, through Tavistock, and I don't know if you even got to hear that.
I went on
for a couple of minutes. Tavistock, through their polling devices and through the media, basically controls the mass consciousness. And methinks that what is occurring with law enforcement now is that they're running the same types of programs on them, setting us up, telling the public, or telling law enforcement basically that the public is going to revolt because of various issues, and who knows what they're telling them unless we hear it from their mouths, what they're being taught in this training. Do you have any particular insight, and do you think that there is some mind control to some extent going on to get these guys to think that the public is bad for some reason?
Well, I do know, Don, for certain, after interviewing a number of sources one-on-one with the assurance that I would not jeopardize their jobs, but that I would reveal what they had told me, I am absolutely convinced that this is both a passive and a non and a non-passive effort within the law enforcement community. That is, leadership especially has been placed in a position of receiving information, compartmentalized, if you will. I know some people are going to smile and others are going to say, yeah, sure, now we're getting real thick. But well, this is what it comes down to. Some of these folks at the higher end only have pieces to the puzzle, and they will not have all of it until the moment the puzzle is to be revealed. And so the people in the rank-and-file positions, which are the ones that I'm most concerned about, number one, they're the greatest number. And number two, they are the people that will be proactive on the street. And number three, they're the people that you are going to have to deal with immediately when and if the order comes to have them come for you or arrest you or question you, whatever it might be. Now, there are a number of issues that are occurring as we speak. They're being trained in the following areas. And, Don, you can just interrupt me at any time with a question, but I'll just start down here and we'll see what kind of questions are solicited from your folks or from you. Number
sure.
One. We have what's called a quick approach and process strategy. That is, you're approached and apprehended hardly before you know what's going on. You barely know they're there. They approach you in a parking lot. They approach you at work. They track you for a while and then get you to a place where they feel you're going to be reasonably harmless and taken without knowing what's going on. And after that, it's up to anybody's guess where you're going to end up and for how long. That strategy is very, very, you must guard yourself if you believe you're in a position that you may be tracked or that you might be on someone's list, then by all means, be very careful about where you go and look in your rearview mirror. I know this sounds so paranoid, but you know it's not paranoid if it's real. And so just be very careful. This is one of their strategies. Number two is they're going to employ these infield apprehension units, IAUs. They're roving federal units with state and local assistance. You must understand that in the county in which you live, or in any county, the federal government, federal agents of law enforcement are only allowed to go where the local sheriff says you can go. That's why we have elected sheriffs. That's why the sheriff is, by the state constitution, the most important law enforcement official in your state. He's there both to protect and to enforce good, natural, common law. And so we have to fear that. And the possibility of that happening. Number three, there is now the, of course, and it has been for some time, the ability to use computer programming, and the technology is so great that they will take snippets of your voice from taped telephone conversations and they will computerize them, and they will change the inflection of the words within that discussion so that if I'm talking to a friend of mine in Kansas City and I say, boy, the Green Bay Packers really bombed the other night against a team, whatever it is, or they nearly bombed against the Vikings, they'll take the words they choose to take and form a question or a sentence or a paragraph or even a dialogue using that ability to manufacture the evidence that they will use against you that was never real. You never had the conversation, but you cannot deny listening to it that it is your voice, and it is your voice saying what you're hearing. It's just that it's been computerized to be put in a dossier that's being compiled so that you can be taken at their choosing. So as we go on down this list, there's called what's AVR, their Anticipated Violence and Resistance Units. Those AVR units are out, and they're going to engage and take out the people on the known lists to be apprehended, whether you call it a red list, a blue list, a hit list, or whatever you want to call it. But they're coming after you. They have up to 12 men or women in these teams. They have full air and ground support. So if you're trying to get away in any way, shape, or form, you're going to be tracked, and you can be assaulted if you resist to a point where they have justification in their view of taking you out. Another one is an instant roadblock unit. Now, I even had a man write to me and say, I've seen the units. You were absolutely right on about this. And what this is modified semi-tractor trailers and complete units that have been constructed to be brought in on flatbeds. They are permanent, or pavement booths, rather, kind of permanent in nature in that they're made from heavy-gauge steel, and they have concrete supporting guarding rails on either side of those. You can't get through them, and if you do, you're going to be fired on. And the semis are military-style semis that are used to actually put people in and hold them, incarcerate them until, you know, they get one full, then they take it out, they replace it with another one. So if they want to choke off a city, they want to choke off a major port, they want to choke off an area that's vital around a nuclear power plant or a military base, they set these up, and you're going to go through it. You try and turn around, they'll be after you. You don't go through and you don't pass their scrutiny, you're done. You're taken and you're put in one of the semis. If you're on their target list, they're looking for you, they've got you. You're apprehended. You need to know secondary routes, tertiary, third level routes, some gravel roads. If that's what it takes, you're going to be far better served. If you have to be traveling at a time when these operations are underway, they could come during martial law, through another terrorist attack, or they could come just simply because these folks want to put a stop to the last vestige of freedom and free-thinking people. Now you say, well, how can that be justified to Constitution believing and Constitution supporting, because don't police officers take an oath to the Constitution? Of course they do. I did. I've taken an oath several times. I've taken my oaths very seriously. Most rank-and-file police officers do as well. And there are a number of them, Don. I'm here to tell you, there's a significant number of police officers that are not happy at all with the prospects of what's taking place. And a lot of them are listening to shows like yours and Jack McLamp's and mine and others. And they're saying, we can't do this. This is not what we signed on for. This is not right. So there is hope, Don. I don't want to leave your people tonight without any hope. There is hope. But we have to believe, first of all, that these people are constitutionally minded. They know what the Constitution says and what it doesn't say. And they have to be, in my view, they need to be good, spirit-filled Christian people who know that this is ultimately the absolute battle between absolute right and good and absolute wrong and bad, and that's between God himself and Satan himself, in my view, and these people are viewing it the same way. And so when it comes right down to it, with all of these things I've told you tonight, and there's just one more I was going to mention that's called a total forfeiture task force, when they come in and sweep your house, they're going to take anything in that house that's remotely related to your crime or your charge. It may be that you have weapons. It may be that you have over the accepted limits of ammunition before you become what's called an armory, over 1,000 rounds. It may be that there are natural medical cures that you have, or a Rife machine, or something else, maybe a water purification system. Whatever it is, they're going to take it, and it will be gone, first of all, but secondly, they'll use it against you, saying you were stockpiling or you were harboring things that at the time, maybe through martial law or a similar situation, are not allowed to be held by normal people. They want you to be dependent on the government and leave it at that. And finally, these tactical team commanders, these command staff executive officers, have restricted access, as I mentioned before. No disclosure policies. They absolutely will not let you go, and it's called Blue Seal, because these dossiers, not the dossiers, I'm sorry, the orders themselves, these compartmentalized orders, are blue sealed. You break the seal, and you better be able to explain why you were in there, how you were in there, and who gave you the authority to be there. This is a military effort all the way, and this last thought, Don, is that I've seen law enforcement go from peace officer status, as I was, to this mission essential military mindset, us against them. We will do what we need to do. Don't question us. Don't resist. You have no rights, and we will take you down when we are ready. It's gone from officer friendly, as I said earlier. What's happening? How can I help you? What's wrong? To we're going to capture you and control you. And that must be known far and wide. And police officers are getting the point, Don, and the good news is that many of them, especially at the lower levels, are not signing on to this. And so I'm praying for a wake-up call when this starts to move, that there's just going to be a giant, we're not doing this.
Well, Greg, we've got to take a short break.
Sure.
I'm going to leave the audience with a couple of moments to digest what you've just said. And we're going to pick up this topic when we return. Our guest, Greg Evenson, will be right back with us. You're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Don't go away. More to come.
Page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And welcome back to our second segment of Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, and we're back with tonight's guest, Dr. Greg Evenson. Greg, I was listening to the promotional advertisements from our sponsors, I was just thinking a thought that we've been told how democracy has arrived, or it's on its way to arriving in Iraq. And it sounds like it's on its way to arriving in the United States of America. Any comment about that?
Well, if in fact it's on its way, and if it in fact arrives, it will be the final tolling of the death bell for the republic form of government that we were given, and that we believed and we have believed for generations has been in place in America. And of course, once you begin to educate yourself, and if you don't start educating yourself, you'll never receive what you really need to know about what's happening around you, because you're not going to get it. And when you do receive information, it will be spoon-fed in a way that you are supposed to receive it. And I can tell you, Don, that when I've been speaking with people recently, I've told them, you know, for a number of years I thought I was conservative, and therefore I voted Republican for many years, and I don't mind telling you that. I mean, most of us vote, and we vote one way or the other, and I happen to vote Republican. But I said, everybody believed that the Republican Party has been the mainstay of American core values and the family values, so to speak, and those that we believe that we know about through the church, and those intrinsic values that we all like to say, or at least many of us do, that make us a decent people, that make us a cultured people with concerns for others. And there is some truth in that, Don. But the problem is that we've been so misled for so many years, even back to the time of the War for Southern Independence, commonly called the Civil War. Of course, nothing civil about it. And it was not a civil war. It was a war for the independence of the South. Since that time forward, what we have seen is time after time, chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity, squandered and lost by both political parties, because it is programmed, this bent, this hell-bent direction that we're on to become a socialist, communist nation at the beck and call of the world elite, of the age-old Illuminati, and of the bloodlines of Europe, is almost within the grasp of those who are out there manipulating this as we speak. And unfortunately, many of us, including myself for many years, but I've since moved past that and seen what's happening, and I imagine most of your dedicated listeners have done the same thing, and more power to you, because nothing's going to change until you are fully educated and prepared to do what you have to do. But when I couldn't solve a case, Don, by walking in the front door and looking at the evidence and saying, here's where it is, I had to go through the back door symbolically, and I had to pick up the little pieces that didn't seem to make much sense. But to a trained investigator, it ruled out all other possibilities, and therefore you were left with only one possibility. And the same is true here. The Republicans claim so righteously that they've been standing up for all our rights, and for 100 years, bare minimum, and much before that, they have done nothing except corral us and point us in the direction of a captured people living within what we believe is a free nation, when in fact we are absolutely not free. And the Democrats have done the same thing, only they've been a little bit more bold, and they've begun implementing the socialist program in the United States with a little bit more boldness than the Republicans. But they have both been pushing for the same goal, and that's why I'm so disappointed that we have absolutely, and I'm sure many of your listeners feel this, but we have no choice in this election the way it stands now. We can vote our conscience, and we can vote, for instance, a Chuck Baldwin. since Ron Paul's not in the picture. And it's not like Chuck is third place to me, but it still is a matter of how can we best strategically try and place the man of the hour in that position. And to me, Chuck Baldwin's the only choice. But you have John McCain, who is a CFR member, who is against border security, who has been routinely a part of the problem in Washington and not one bit the fix of the problem in Washington. And Barack Obama, who is this guy? He came out of nowhere. An activist from Chicago? Let me tell you, if you've ever been on the south side of Chicago, there's about 500,000 activists running around in the streets down there trying to make a change and doing nothing but making the thing worse, and half of them are drug dealers. Now, if you say, well, that's not fair, that's a cheap shot, Greg, well, then go to Chicago. I used to live just outside of Chicago. I know what I'm talking about. And Barack Obama is not this wonder guy that's going to change everything for the good of mankind and certainly the people in the United States. We have no choice, Don. And we are being funneled into the tightest little remaining space before the last effort is made to clamp this lid shut on democracy. Democracy is a very bad form of government. You don't want to be involved in it. In fact, the United States Army regulation manual after World War I was very explicit about it. They took it out of print because it just told the truth. And I'm starting to go a little long, so I'll break and let you get back in here.
No, you're absolutely correct, and I agree with you. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this Obama piece is coming out, and I can tell you, his being in Chicago has everything to do with organized crime. You mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations. He was asked a question last week by someone at one of these town meeting scenarios where they stand in front of a loaded audience, and someone, young man, stood up and asked him if it was true that he belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations. And you never saw anyone stammer so much. In fact, he lied several times. Just on the basis of the research that I had dug up, I knew he was lying. And so when you compare what we've gotten in the media or gotten from the media, which is really there's no substance whatsoever to anything they're saying about him, other than he's popular, and he's only popular because they say he's popular. It's like any other lie they tell. They repeat it over and over and over, and because people hear that, they think, well, it's on TV. You know, I see this face that's sitting in my living room staring at me while I'm on the couch or sitting on the floor or I'm in my lazy boy, and my kids are crawling over me and playing, and little Susie's playing the piano and the dog's barking. And you see these faces in your home, and it feels like they're there. They're part of the family because you've been brainwashed into subconsciously accepting that it's normal.
And Don, if people, and I know you've had to do your absolute duty, if you will, because that's the way I feel when I'm on my radio show, but I know you've gone at some point in time and explained to people just what this CFR is all about. Founded back in 1921, it really, and it's headquartered in New York. It is the main hub of the effort, the concerted, absolutely scripted effort to have the American people become part of this great world governance effort that includes Agenda 21 and all kinds of things. But it comes down to this. These people are operating openly every day. They print great long diatribes and formal papers about positions that the United States government should take, and in fact they do take, because the government is taking much of virtually everything in its direction, its political direction, its economic direction, its military direction, from the Council on Foreign Relations. This 3,300 roughly member organization that includes people from all facets of American politics, economy, business, and military. There are military leaders, business leaders, media leaders, politicians, medical people, they of every walk of life that are involved in this. They are tapped for this organization. And once they are, and that includes Rick Warren, this great guy that everybody's jumping around the corners for, to accommodate him in his book, what's the name of the book? I just drew a complete blank because I was thinking too fast. What's the name of that book? I apologize. I don't do that very often, but it is his latest work, and pastors from all over the country. I'll think of it in a minute. The purpose-driven life. Thank you very much. That's right. And the training manual that and pastors by the tens of thousands are attending these seminars for what purpose? For what purpose? To get one man who's a member of this organization to get his worldview? That's exactly what our churches do not need. But it's exactly why our churches are impotent in this nation when it comes to directing the people who are faithful and go to the church, attend the churches, and say, well, I'm going to do what's best for my country by what my pastor says and what my board of elders says, because they've just gotten back from Rick Warren's seminar. And I'm saying, one more time, we have a sheep in wolf's clothing here, or a wolf in sheep's clothing, depending on your viewpoint. It doesn't matter. It really is part and parcel to the effort, which is to control and damage the institutions of this country and then manipulate them into serving this final solution to the Christian question, or the final solution to the patriot question. We've heard that phrase before, haven't we? The final solution to the Jewish question. And now it becomes the final solution to the American question. And they are doing it to eliminate all facets of traditional Republican, and when I say Republic, I mean Republic government, that our founders, even though they were flawed in their own way, but the form of government that existed when this nation was founded was certainly on its way to becoming something very constructive. And for years we had freedom and independence, and we could do what we needed to do, free of government intervention and rulemaking, until there are some three million laws in the United States, laws, statutes, and ordinances. We can't follow one without breaking another someplace else. We've been absolutely corralled. We've been painted into a corner. And the result is going to be, at some point, Don, a break with the government and its people. I'm not advocating that. I don't want that. It will be a terrible moment in the history of this nation if it happens. But I'm saying, and I don't want anybody to not understand what I'm saying here, you are going to be forced to make a decision. You will either go along with the barcode, you will go along with the implanted chip, you will go along with the government's plan, or you'll say, no, I won't. And let me tell you, you must have a big dose of courage the day that occurs, because everything you've known in your life will be cut off. You will have no place to go except where you can run and hide. It will not be pleasant, folks. This is going to be very challenging to you, and we just hope that the good men and women in law enforcement and our armed forces who listen to our shows and say deep in their guts, I know they're telling me the truth because I'm seeing what's happening every day in my corner of the world, whether it's Iraq or Pakistan, or if it's on a military reservation someplace where they're training these men and women, or at state and local police academies where they're hearing this stuff, and these men and women are going back to their homes and they're saying, you know, I just happened to catch a radio show late one night in Ohio. And, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe this stuff. Then I started checking. Or I heard this guy on Saturday, his name's Evenson. I don't know where he's from. But I got to tell you, what he's saying really struck a chord. I know he's telling me the truth. I've seen this stuff. Now, Don, that is my hope. My hope is that the truth is the truth, and you can't kill the truth. You can bury it for a while, you can manipulate it for a while, but when it's absolute truth, and God loves truth, when God says, I'm going to let that truth shine through on the radio or on the internet or on shortwave, then people are hearing, and it's... I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 10 years from today, but I do know this. I do know that there are people out there that are manipulating your future and my future, and it's not good, and we need to be the people who stand. We are the vanguard, Don. We may be the last vanguard to tell people what is happening and solicit their support and their courage to see this thing through.
Well, we may be the only vanguard that's needed. I think this may be the first time in history that this number of people, and I'm talking about journalists and talk show hosts and the listening audience that participates with us on our shows and doing the research and educating themselves as to what's going on. You know, what comes to mind, Greg, and when I think about God and his creations, and he gave us life. He gave us a special dispensation to experience life individually. We're individuations of God. And we really are all one. And yet what these people have done, and I use the word people with great reservation, what this cabal has done, this international cabal of terror and fascism and communism and socialism has done is separated us, or at least at every step of the way, they've tried to separate us from our Creator. Now, those that purport to be representatives on our behalf, in other words, they hold the ticket or they hold the key to heaven to open that door to lead us back to our Creator, seem to have forgotten their mission, and they have given in to these tax-free 501c3 regulations. In other words, will allow you to exist, but this is what you must do. Whatever happened to church and state? You see, as they told us this, they taught us this in school. We have separation of church and state, that this country was founded on a basis of Christianity. It's obvious they're trying to destroy Christianity. They're doing the best they possibly can to do that. And at the same time, there are members of these secret societies that say the end justifies the means. We can lie, and it's okay to lie because our goal is what's most important here, not what these people think about us lying. And so we have all these dichotomies going on. It's quite obvious that things are terribly wrong. And you hit the nail right on the head. It's our relationship with God and understanding that we did not give up these rights. They told us that we did. I don't recall signing any contracts to give up my rights. Knowingly, I don't have a copy of that contract. The contract that they gave us told us that we were free, that we had freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to pursue happiness throughout our life. And being a slave and paying the prices we're paying for goods and being sprayed upon from the skies and having our water infused with all kinds of toxins and to have them take natural foods away and genetically modify foods and just every turn, every aspect of what keeps a person alive has been tainted by this corruption.
And God, I have to tell you that I for a long time have been very much against this notion of separation of church and state, simply because I believe that the influence of the church was a positive thing, was a beneficial thing. And yet, mm-hmm. I've come over the last couple of years to believe that maybe, and just hold on with me here. Let me complete my thought so people won't think I'm weird. But that separation of church and state is probably a good thing at this point. That if the church can once again find its courage, if the church can once again find its closeness and its fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God Himself, and can operate on that, and can operate with boldness and courage and freedom, and educate the people in their pews, then they should be separated from this tainted, corrupt, increasingly evil, and directed by evil forces government that is part of my country. Don, I love my country. I love the people that are in this nation. I would do anything. Look, I'm 58 years old. I've got a few more years, hopefully, God willing, but I would give my life tonight if it would make a true difference, because I've lived a good life. God has been exceptionally good to me. God has given me a wonderful wife. God has given me marvelous children and grandchildren, and I'm so proud of them. And they are independent, good, solid, character-building people. And I'm just in awe that they're part of my family. But I would give my life up tonight if it would make a difference. But I don't know that it will, but I'm willing. And what that says is I'm willing to do what must be done to broadcast this message, to tell the truth about what's happening, not quiver and not shake, even though there are times, and I have to tell you, I've been a big guy and I thought I was fairly tough, could take care of myself when I was a police officer, but I'll tell you, I have some fears. I have fear that the bullet hole in my pillar out here on my post, where did that come from? That the death threats that I'm receiving, where are they coming from? The stuff that's falling from the sky, why? Why can I not plant a seed and have it grow more than just one season? And what's in that seed? What's in that tomato that looks so good and tastes so good? What is it? Instead, I have to get non-hybrid seeds. I have to get natural remedies and cures to protect myself from pharmaceutical companies that put out stuff that's poison. It's worse than some of the diseases. I'm better off going against the bird flu virus, H5N1, without any vaccine than taking the vaccine they're going to offer. You say, well, that's paranoid, Greg. No, it's not. I'm listening to researchers. I'm reading research papers. You have to read, folks. You have to keep yourselves abreast of what's going on. You have good men and women in the military who are coming home sick from Iraq. What are they coming home sick from, Don? Depleted uranium. What's depleted uranium, people say? That's used in the armaments, the shells that are being shot at tanks and other people and during the war. There's hundreds and tens of thousands, millions of these rounds lying around that are making our troops sick. Why? So we're dependent on foreign troops, the Canadians up north that we signed an agreement with to come into this country should there be a problem? It's all part and parcel to this, folks. You can take it individually or you can put it all together, and the end result is the same, and that is a slavery future with no freedom left and a government that is sold out completely to the international elites and the Illuminati who have been waging this war for hundreds of years.
Well said. Greg, we got to take a break here. We're at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Don't go away. More to come.
Well, partner, we got our pork and beans, we got our coffee, and we got this real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Just done, boy. Got this here radio. We ain't got no battery.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go to town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints. I am Don Nikoloff, and our special guest, Greg Evenson, has joined us tonight to talk about what is going on in the law enforcement agencies across the country, And we're going to get into some solutions as to how we can prepare for these things. Greg, welcome back. You eloquently pointed out what's going on, and I'm in agreement with you. You know, when I speak about separation of church and state, of course, this is what was drilled into us. And I think it meant that the government was not to interfere, that we were to have the right to worship as we see fit. The majority of people in the United States happen to be Christians. And there has been this assault through the ADL and through the ACLU covertly, which I believe is operating hand-in-hand with the Anti-Defamation League.
I agree.
To take our religious rights away, to have God removed from the courtrooms and from our schools. And it's as though they're removing God from the churches as well. Do you see that, or is that my imagination?
Oh, no. I believe you're right on the money on that. And you see, again, I put this, forgive me, please, but I am a ex-police officer. I put the police test to this. I put benchmark down there where I would have if I was solving a crime, and I say, who are the people that are standing on a daily basis, case by case, event by event, against the traditional, the protected, if you will, because of the truth in Scripture, behind the people that are, and you understand now, folks, this is my political belief, my personal belief system, my Christian belief system that says this. If you're in agreement, fine. If you're not, then I hope you learn something. But I am opposed to abortion on demand. I am opposed to the homosexual lifestyle. I am opposed and having supremacy over anybody else's lifestyle. In other words, you're going to accept that lifestyle or else you're going to be taken in for hate speech or something else. I mean, what in God's name does this have to do with living? Just living my life, and I have to be careful what I say about that? Well, it has nothing to do with God. That's why it's clearly that way. But to get back to my point, what is it that is driving the ACLU, which was founded, by the way, Don, and your listeners may know this, as a communist organization? That is a historical fact. And the ACLU has hidden their true agenda under Americans dealing with civil liberties. It has nothing to do with civil liberty. It has everything to do with civil slavery. And the ACLU leads the way, and they are in hand in glove with the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which has an absolute agenda and a must-win situation in defeating Christians, Christian attitudes, Christian morality, Christian theocracy, and the Christian viewpoint, because it does not represent at all what the ADL and the ACLU actually stand for. And therefore, we as Christians, as believing Christians, and as others, just others, it doesn't have to be Christians, but others are fighting this agenda. It is part and parcel to this world agenda in which Christianity and all other faiths of any kind, really, will be boxed in and put away. Not to be touched, not to be spoken about, unless you are a registered church with a registered pastor, much as we had in Soviet Russia and yet in communist countries that still survive. It is a matter of a part of the whole picture. Many of you have it. If you don't, start checking these things out. They're all going to click. It's part of the agenda to enslave the American nation.
Well said. And I'm glad we agree on that point. What came to mind while you were talking, and you know, we're sort of painted into this corner by the government, by all these laws. We have over 23 million laws, and I've said this on other shows, and we can't seem to remember the 10 laws that God gave us, that He gave us through Moses. Now, when I look at 9/11, and yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11, seventh year anniversary, and we've yet to have a murder investigation. There were over 3,000 people murdered. It's quite obvious how much obfuscation there has been in covering up what actually went on, but the people themselves have figured that out, that it was an inside job. Whether or not they participated with the Israeli Mossad or Sayeret Matkal or any other foreign group, we know that Dick Cheney was orchestrating the whole thing. I mean, our president was holding a book about a goose upside down, pretending like he was reading it. The guy was obviously crapping in his pants when he got the word that the first plane had hit the building. And it wasn't like he described it. And they formed a commission, and they were able to weasel their way out of it. And the people just sat back and watched this happen and did nothing about it. Vincent Bugliosi was on my show a few weeks ago, and I brought up the issue that the pretext for us going after Saddam Hussein originally was that he aided al-Qaeda, and that since they were after Osama bin Laden, which, again, we know was just a big fiction, he was a CIA operative, why aren't even Bugliosi, I asked him, why aren't you making this connection with 9/11? There's a murder investigation in our own country, and you're asking for us to arrest or impeach George Bush, prosecute him for murder in Iraq. What about here in the United States? What are your feelings about that, Greg?
Well, again, I'll go back for the third time, and I promise it'll be my last. Well, I hope I can at least that I make this leap from the time when I was an investigator until the present. I have gotten it down, Don, to being this simple. Whether you subscribe to the fact that the buildings were demolished by controlled demolitions, and that these planes, that the buildings were designed to be able to take that kind of a hit, that jet fuel burns at roughly 1,000 degrees, and it takes nearly 3,000 degrees to melt steel, it is not something that I can accept that it happened the way it did. I don't have all of the information I would like to have to be able to wrap this up nice and in a nice, tidy little bundle. But I've even gone so far as to interview on my radio show Colonel George Nelson, retired flight-rated pilot with the United States Air Force, and he was a crash scene investigator. And he said, look, he said, especially when it comes to the Pentagon, he said, what they want us to believe is that this plane, and I'm going to get around to making the point, Don, but I just want to point a couple of things out to your people that you may not have heard. And that is simply this, that a plane flying at 500 miles an hour is what they allege when it struck the Pentagon. To fly a fully loaded 757 at just a mere few feet above the ground, to hit that building the way it is purported to have done, is virtually impossible. Seasoned pilots have been in simulators and said that they could not do it for a variety of reasons that George pointed out in my show, which included the fact that the wing of an airplane is designed to give the plane lift. And so a plane, under most normal circumstances, not a mechanical failure or catastrophic failure, wants to continue to fly if it's under power because the wings will lift it. This plane went into the Pentagon at a mere handful of feet, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 feet above the ground. Don, the turbines of the plane would have hit the ground and disintegrated the plane before it hit the Pentagon. The plane, the building shows no damage from what we would call inlets or where the wings struck the building itself. We had one small fissure that was cut in that building, and then there was this great explosion. Colonel Nelson believes it was from a cruise missile, a large cruise missile. Whatever you want to believe, you now some folks are saying, yeah, see, but check it out. It cannot have happened. It cannot have happened the way the government wants you to believe it. It is not possible. And so when you begin, and I don't want to take any more time on the show, but this is just one aspect of it. Why is it this way, and why could it, or if it was, how could it have been, and why would it have been an inside job? Well, it's very simple. The people in power needed the rationale, the reason, the justification. Even Augustine said, thousands of, well, hundreds of years ago, into the last millennium, said a just war must be predicated on certain things for it to be just to the people and ultimately to God. And so since there was no justification, it had to be built in so that the bloodlines in Europe, the moneyed people in Europe and the United States had the justification, number one, to wage war. The banks always come out on top when they wage war because they fund the wars. And ultimately, this was, I believe, although I don't have all the evidence and I'm a little bit hesitant to say it, but I believe on the basis of what evidence I do have and I see and I read and I've talked to other people who are experts, that this was indeed something other than just a pure terrorist attack. And we're paying the price for it, and we will continue as a nation, a people, a military, and our economic system is on the verge of collapse because of what they've done.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, I would bring up the Project for a New American Century, that document that all of a sudden is disappearing off the internet. But
yeah.
but we can get it back up because we have copies of it.
Oh, that's great.
We had Cheney on there, Jeb Bush, William Kristol from the Weekly Standard, and these people were clamoring for a false flag event. And that led to 9/11. So we can attach this to a document that was created in 1997. Now, I can tell you, Greg, there's a paper trail to 9/11. Last night on my show, I had Michael Anthony, who is an herbalist. He's a chemist. He worked for IBM. He knows about the secret plans that they have to sequester their people when a pandemic hits. These were orders issued to all the employees of the company some time ago before he left the company. He knew something was terribly wrong. He knew he was working for Nazis at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the story he related last night on this show was that in New York, a friend of a friend of his, okay, so this is someone he knows and trusts very, very well, was working on two of the planes that they used on 9/11 that morning. He was servicing those planes. And we're talking about planes that were likely remote controlled. So we're talking about a Global Hawk system. Now, the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld is before Congress talking about $2.3 trillion that the Pentagon could not find. And isn't it interesting that Dov Zakheim, who supposedly and likely took that money and took it to Israel, owned Global Hawk. He owned the company that fit those remote control units in those airplanes. And they were unmarked, blacked-out windows airplanes. Okay.
George Nelson, this colonel, I just want to interject this, completely agrees with, I hope I'm representing what he said correctly, but I believe that he does agree with that hypothesis that you have just put out there, and it's more than a hypothesis, but he does believe that they were remote controlled, and he even went to the point where he said, you know, landing gears survive all accidents. They are made of stainless steel and other components, and he said there's serial numbers on them. And he said, I don't care what accident, it doesn't matter, a landing gear survives. And so he did a research on his own, and he said the landing gears, the serial numbers on those landing gears that were associated with those aircraft, when they found the landing gears in the wreckage of the Twin Towers, he said they were immediately whisked away on trucks, and he said, there is evidence that the FAA registry that keeps tabs on all aircraft and obviously even to the extent of some of the components of the aircrafts, that they do not match the aircrafts, the several aircraft that were involved in the destroyed that morning on September 11th, 2001. There has been a break in the chain that the FAA provides so that we know what plane is in service at what time. And it's a very, very interesting situation that George has developed. And he might be a great guy to have in your show. He's a personal friend.
Oh, I'd love
to.
If you can put me in touch with him.
I sure will.
Now, you mentioned the landing gear surviving a crash. You failed to mention that the FBI also knows that the passports of Arab terrorists survive and can be found blocks away from plane crashes.
Yes, that's right.
If you remember that story that we were told, that they found
of
the Arab passports, I think it was Mohammed Atta's passport. Mm-hmm. What did he do, roll down the window and throw it out?
Well, you know, if he had been in that plane and all that happened had happened, I'm going to assure you that a piece of paper like that would not have survived for someone to find several blocks away.
That building, yes, yeah, I agree. That building was turned to pulverized powder,
mm-hmm.
which suggests scalar weapons.
And that's right.
Quite possibly from space. Now, there was plenty of video taped evidence from Rick Siegel's video, 9/11 eyewitness. You could see the pulse beams coming out of some of the black choppers that were on the side of the building that people could not see when they were seeing the mainstream media's videos. He was across the river shooting from New Jersey, and they made him move at one point, and he still got those shots the second time. Both buildings, right a moment before the buildings collapsed, you could see a flash of light come out of the side of these choppers.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that would explain, you know, many people they've gone out of their way around the world seven times to try and dismiss the implosion theory and putting in the explosives and so forth. And you know, I could never quite get enough. I mean, it's possible, certainly possible. I couldn't quite get enough of an expose and an explanation of how that could have and would have been done. And therefore, when this theory of other external agitation, if you will, that actually took those buildings down, if you look at the videotape, it is just something that is unbelievable to watch that building collapse. And mm-hmm. Both of them collapse in the same manner. And so I believe that what you've just described is far more plausible and likely did occur.
Now, we have this anomaly, and not that this is intended to become a discussion about 9/11. But,
I know, I'm
know,
sorry about that.
No, I'm the one that's bringing it up, so if you'll bear with me
sure.
in this. Because this is the event that spawned everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is the coup de grace, so to speak.
That's right.
Building number 7, which was a CIA operation, and it's even conjectured that they were operating the remote control devices from that building. The mayor, Giuliani, had an office there. Silverstein is talking to the fire department, and they say, pull the building. And 1.5 hour before the building fell, the BBC was on the air in England reporting this. And there's a video of the reporter, the British reporter, a female, standing in another area of Manhattan, and behind her is Building 7 standing
there.
That's
right.
And she's already reported that it has collapsed.
Well, I tell you, she either time warped or somebody got their timing up very, very wrong, very embarrassingly wrong. Critically wrong.
Yes, it's obviously that the BBC was behind this. Maybe they're the ones that did this.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Oh, my. Well, I tell you, Don, what it boils down to, in my view, it is what I would have called prima facie. It is on its surface sufficient evidence to launch an investigation that has no end until the full truth is known to the American people. And, of course, the government in place now, the people within that government, especially in the military and intelligence assets of our government, are dedicated to keeping the truth from the American people for one reason. It protects the status quo. It keeps them in power. It justifies what they do. It funds what they do. It ties them to an international, as you said earlier, cabal, and that's the only way to look at it, of Nazis and of communists who are hell-bent on destroying this country. We are the last vestige of real freedom, such as what little freedom we have left. We are an armed citizenry. They know that at some point they're going to have to confront us, because if they don't, they'll never be able to close the final loop. But God help us when that day comes.
Yes. Well, I would like to talk a bit about some solutions here. We have a couple of minutes before our final break.
Sure.
And I would like to talk about solutions. I've had some ministers on the show, David High from Millennial Technologies in Oklahoma City. He sponsors an organization, a foundation that gives away Bibles, thousands of Bibles around the world, called Adopt a Lamb. He's a very spiritual man. He's an author, and he and Pastor Matthew Stephen, who has had visions about God's judgment on this country, and earthquakes and all kinds of calamities that are going to set things straight once and for all. I mean, we're looking at the days of Sodom and Gomorrah here coming upon America if we don't repent. And I know repentance is important, and part of that is us taking responsibility. I have been preaching this message for a couple of years now on internet radio, and I'm not a preacher, but the Holy Spirit, as you had hoped, would work upon us, has been working upon me. And often I do monologues on this show. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I just know that the Holy Spirit is going to use me on a given night, and I go on for an hour describing mind control or describing our responsibility and allowing these things to happen. We're coming up on the break, but when we come out of the break, I'd like you to expand a bit on your personal feelings from a spiritual perspective. How can we accept our responsibility? How can we awaken to it? And what are some of the things that we can do to help each other? To help awaken the others. So if we can do that, when we come back, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So folks, don't go away. You're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our guest, Greg Evenson, will be right back with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, and we're with our special guest, Greg Evenson. Greg, I did kind of a parody there on the border situation. People are...
Yeah, I got that.
A few emails from folks. Are you making fun of illegal aliens? That's me I'm making fun of, actually.
That was great. I like that. It was really good, Don.
You got to have a sense of humor with what's going on here.
Oh,
you know?
It's true. Got to keep things in some kind of perspective. You know, you asked, Don, and I want you to know that my wife, who is right close by here listening, and she's such a profound Christian and such a wonderful helpmate to me. She said we had some neighbors stop by today, and some very very good friends just down the road from me, and they listened to the show, my show, and we're going to encourage them to listen to yours as well. And anyway, the point was, she said, first of all, she said they just believe that we need to return. You ask about solutions, and I think under the circumstances, here is one among several I'm going to offer, and I'll do it very quickly. First of all, know the Word of God, and try and capture a little bit, focus in on what you believe is the mind of God, what God would have for you at this time, and be grounded in the Word. Number two, be prepared to return to cottage church. Three, four, five families getting together or more, but I mean in a general neighborhood or area, and get together where there is trust and there's love on a local level, so that when the tough times come, you'll be there for each other. Number three, moving away from that a little bit, but still kind of on that same order, is none of us, Don, are in a position, or very few of us are. I certainly am not, but I told my friends, I said, I don't have a stock market account. I don't have big bank accounts. And I don't have these kinds of things. Why? Because I invested in 20 acres of wooded land and a big log home that was defensible and that was out here, in an area that could be used, to shelter and to help folks. Now I made that conscious decision, over 15 years ago. And because of that, I don't have a lot of financial resources. I advertise some things at my website, including my book, just simply because of that reason. We have that, and we try and help some others as well. But the point is, marshal the things that you can, folks, wherever you are. If some of you have stored a lot of canned goods and others are planning to do some things, get together with your neighbors, trusted people, families, work together, use your assets, the things that you're really good at, and prepare for the times when there will be huge shortages. Maybe you're an herbalist. Maybe you know all that there is to know, or most of what there is to know, about planting good herbs and medicinal herbs and how to harvest them and how to store them. Use that. Others may be expert hunters, and you need to teach some other people on how to stalk game and how to bring food in on the table. Others may be very good at construction and fixing things. I'm about as clumsy and stupid when it comes to some things like that. My wife is better than me at some of those points. I'm good at three or four things, but I'm not in some others. So, in other words, maximize your strengths. Share them within the family or friends, and begin to prepare by investing what you can afford to invest, especially and first of all in good seeds, non-hybrid seeds that have not been messed with, that will give you year after year after year of food. You see, they want to control you. It's all about people control. Whether it's gun control, that's people control. Political control, it's people control. Food sources, it's people control. Pharmaceuticals that'll kill you, it's still about people control. So break that. Break that chain. And there are several things here, Don, we've just listed, that are really good solutions for people to work on, have somewhat, if you want to call it fun, but at least you have fellowship while you're doing it. And you can learn the Word of God that will undergird everything, because without that, it's all lost anyway.
Yes, very well said. You know, what came to mind is Jesus' instruction that we cannot serve two masters, for we will love one and hate the other.
Yes, sir.
And he spoke about money, and he called money the love of money the root of all evil.
Correct.
And that's what we're facing. So I wouldn't feel left out if I didn't have the money. Now, of course, we know that in this society, the way it is, it's controlled by money, and you have to have money to do things. But God will provide.
That's
and
right.
The power,
yes, he will.
The power of prayer is, I don't think most of us have ever really experienced what we can accomplish through prayer.
Well, I've watched my wife pray. And I'll tell you, Don, she's prayed for you and she's prayed for a lot of folks. And I tell you, when she prays, get out of the way, Sam, because something's coming through. God does answer prayer.
Well, God bless her for that. I pray for all the journalists I know and the talk show hosts I know who are going through trials and tribulations, and even those that are not. And by the way, now your wife is Liz.
Yes.
I've visited her her website, todaysriverstudio.com.
Yes.
She's a fantastic artist.
Well, isn't that nice, Don? I tell you, she's listening, so she's got a big smile on her face. Thank you for that. She is good, and she enjoys it. She just loves it.
Oh, she is exceptional. So now she's selling her artwork, I would presume, right?
She does, Don, and she also has some photographic work that she has done, and a lot of that's centered around Mackinac Island. But she does a lot, so they can go there and take a look at it.
Well, we can fix your bank account situation there if the listeners would check out her website.
Well, jeepers, you know, Don, I know that everybody faces the same things. I'm a terrible solicitor, and I'm a terrible self-promoter, so it doesn't do me much good. But I just mention them from time to time. I'm so grateful that you did, because I probably wouldn't have. But she is there, and we have some other things at the Heartland USA site, too, that just designed for folks that want something special that's going to help them out. So anyway, that's enough said about that.
Well, now, I mentioned your book at the top of the show, and you just mentioned it, America, Fall from Grace and Power. I don't have a copy of that, but I would like to be able to post it on my website, on my books page, if I could do that.
Actually, Don, that would be fine. That was the heading for the book. The name of the book itself is The Sovereignty Papers.
Okay.
And I wrote it that way because I wanted to draw the contrast between the Federalist Papers back at the founding of the nation and the fact that these tomes, if you will, all put into one. And by the way, that's on CD. You can't get it hardcover. I didn't do it that way. You got to buy it by CD so that you can play it in the car, play it at home, get snippets here and there, and make it simple on yourself. People don't have enough time to do anything alone, let alone hardly sit around and read a book. So it is on CD, and it can be ordered from the website. But, yeah, it's The Sovereignty Papers. And it should help some folks and reinforce what I said in tonight's program.
Okay, very good. Our listening audience, when they're enjoying the show, does not call in. I've come to accept that as a fact. We do get calls.
That's right.
So we're going to keep our conversation going. If anyone would like to call in, use the numbers for Station 2, if you would, please. And if you have a question or comment for tonight's guest, Dr. Greg Evenson, then please phone that in. We still have another 15 minutes or so left on the show tonight. I guess, where do we go from here? Well, I've got this new piece coming out about Barack Obama, and that's the intention here is to show who these people are. I'm convinced that our country has been infiltrated. In fact, we just got a new web address, and we're going to start a page, which is really going to be a big part of BBS Radio. It's going to be a news outlet, and I would hope that you might be willing to contribute something from time to time to that. I'm sort of going to be heading this. It's called infiltrators.com. And we are going to be posting journalistic works from a team of writers, Ken Adachi, Chris Hinckley, Bill Cormier, and myself. And then we're going to also solicit works of folks like yourself as well. that have something really substantial to say, something that's backed up by fact, and then we're also going to be able to post audio and video on the site. So we're looking at a remedy to the shortcomings of mainstream media. And
oh, no,
put the stuff out there that people...
I appreciate that because it's just not there and people need it. They crave it. They have to have it. It is almost an addiction, but it's so necessary. I'm so glad you're doing that.
Well, that's going to take off Monday. We're putting everything together. We're upgrading our servers. We have been attacked, and I'm sure you probably have experienced this to some extent yourself.
I
if you're getting death
have.
Threats.
Yes, I have.
I've gotten a few. I sort of laugh them off and just go about my business. But I talk to many others. Jeff Rentz, for instance, Rentz.com is under attack right now. They're trying to take his website down. When we use the word hackers or phishing or email spam, this is the government. This is the NSA. I've been doing quite a bit of research over the past few months. We get thousands of mail, junk email and spam and phishing email, stuff designed to logjam our network right at BBS Radio, and we're documenting this. And I've been tracing the IP addresses, and it's the same companies, only I've got names and telephone numbers and addresses, and we're going to publish these, and we're going to put a list out. And I'll make sure you can get a copy of this, and we're going to let everybody know that the government is doing this.
Well, Don, it's even to the point where I'm having calls that are supposedly, now I'm on the no-call list, but these 800 number calls coming through purportedly from attorneys and other organizations that just have to speak to me. And they don't ever write. They continue to call or send stuff on the email, jamming me up. And I have no clue who these people are. And I'm going to tell you, I will not talk to these people. I will not get on there because I even had a close friend's attorney of mine say, don't ever answer these people. Don't ever get on there and talk. If they've got serious business, they'll get hold of you. Not like this.
Yes.
And I believe it's part and parcel of this whole system.
Yes, well, they put this word out there that there's hackers and there are these people, these bad people that are, you know, these lost souls that have nothing better to do than to destroy somebody's system, whether it's a network or just a private individual's computer. We've got identity theft.
We've been through it ourselves.
Yeah,
been through it
yeah.
as well.
And, you know, there's, you know, the company McAfee that makes this antiviral software.
Mm-hmm.
They give out the BBS radio telephone number as the number to call for service. And they've been warned. They've been asked to take the number, to change the number, to correct the information. And they tell people that, they tell us that they're going to do that. And they continue doing the same thing. So this is orchestrated harassment just to make this message of truth that we're bringing appear to be ineffective in whatever way they can. If we're doing something wrong, the people will know that. And what's happening is we're witnessing an awakening across the country. Now, it's not as much as we would like to see, but I could tell you that there were more people awake then there are planning all these things, you know, to take over society. Far many more people are awake. Now, there are far many more who are still asleep. What are your suggestions in these closing minutes that we have here? We can go with this for a few minutes.
Sure. Well, Don, look, number one, it's absolutely critical that people take the fog lamps off, okay? Switch them off. We can't have this anymore where it's a matter of we're just going to guess that there's something wrong or we really don't know there's something wrong. Take off the fog lamps, wake up, and then once you are awake, pinch yourself, make sure you're awake, and then begin some action. Begin at the local level politically. Begin at the local, if you're involved in your church, pray and pray and pray. But also, keep informing others. Education. I get so tired of that word. And I'm involved in education, but I'm tired of the word because it has a hollow, empty a meaning for most. Yep, I got to be educated how to drive. I got to be educated how to shop. I got to educate. Look, educate each other. Get on the network. Go to websites that are dedicated to truth. Find out what the truth is, and then replicate that truth wherever you can, in your church, in your American Legion post, in your PTA group, in whatever it is that you do. Let people know so that we can spread this word and get the American people involved. If we can do that, Don, we're going to win.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree. You know, you've experienced this, I've experienced this, and everybody I know in this movement. And I'm not just talking about the Patriot movement. I'm talking about the religious zealots out there, the people that are sensing that the earth is about to change, that there's a higher consciousness coming. Maybe it's just God impulsing us to in His way to say, I'm coming back and I'm going to straighten things out. But He's given us the ability ourselves to take responsibility. And to begin action, like you're saying, you're talking about doing something instead of waiting for everyone else to do it for you. We've become so complacent and apathetic. And when you're telling someone these things, and you can look them in the eyes, how often do you see the glassy eye look? You know, it's like the fluorides from the tap water are kicking in, and
yeah.
And they're just in disbelief. That this could be going on. People cannot comprehend that their government, which they really know nothing about because of these topics that we've discussed, they really don't know that this is true. You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say to you that I figured that, because I speak a lot, and I've got 45 seconds to a minute, maybe a minute and a half on a good night, before the glassy-eyed effort takes over. So what I do is I ask a series of questions. And those questions, I don't make statements that people can't comprehend. I ask simple questions, and that draws them in. It holds me, it maybe gives me another 5 minutes. Please do that. Ask people what they know about what's happening. Do you know that this is happening? Have you experienced this? And I think it'll go a long way instead of just pontificating like we all have a tendency to do, because after all, we have the information, we therefore need to get it out. Well, that's great, but if people just don't know anything, then you have to educate. Ask them I use the word educate, but ask them what they don't know. Ask if they do know, and then get them involved in the conversation. Let them have some response time, even if it's a little embarrassing for them. They say, well, I don't really know, but you do know this, you do know that, and keep them engaged. Keep them, don't let them off the hook.
Yes, yes. You know, I employ that technique with my neighbors, and I ask them things. You know, I'm meeting new people all the time, because where I live, people still go for walks, and they take their children for walks or their dogs, and you don't see that in a lot of places anymore. It's not safe to be out on the streets, and I have a neighbor that works for the state turnpike. And he has an administrative job, and I was asking him how things were going. Did he notice any unusual things happening with the highways? I noticed they keep the turnpike up pretty well, but all the other state highways are falling apart, as if by design. And he mentioned that, well, there are some changes going on. One change is that they went from a Mexican labor force that takes care of the roadside rests, what we call the rest areas,
yes,
and the restaurant filling station areas, the service areas as well.
Yes.
They had Mexicans, and they've been replaced by Ukrainians. Now, what happened to Americans? What kind of thinking is going on? You see, we get this political rhetoric that Americans won't do these jobs. There are plenty of people that will do these jobs all the time. Don't we have school janitors? Don't we have maids that work in hotels?
Sure.
We have service people, and they sold us this concept of service, that society and business was becoming service-oriented, And here you have this going on a state level now, these decisions are being made. It's quite obvious that we have been infiltrated and that these things are going on, and people are oblivious to this. So you can learn these things just from talking to your neighbors. Now, sure. My neighbors take an interest in the fact that I have a radio show. They read my work, and they're encouraging me. Keep up the work. Keep telling the truth. My listeners say the same things as yours do. So it's about getting the truth out to people and waking people up to the fact that they've been lied to. That's a very difficult reality for a lot of people to swallow.
Don, I have to tell you this. Also, people must fight the desire to become demoralized, because it is so. It seems to be the tsunami of the history of the earth. 12,000 foot high wave coming at you, and there's nothing you can do. Please don't fall into that slump. There's much you can do, and if you don't do it, then maybe we do have a tsunami coming. But I just have faith. I'm telling you, I have faith in the American people, even if they've been slow, that they're going to get it and do something about it. Just keep praying. Stay in tune with God and stay in touch.
Okay. Well, Greg, we're out of time. This has been a fantastic show. I want to thank you again for coming on Evident Footprints on such short notice.
Oh, Don, it was my pleasure, and thanks to all your listeners for being so patient. Take care, folks. Thanks, Don.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, and you take care, and my best to Liz also.
She heard that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Folks, we've come to the end of another week here. Please listen in next week. I've got Ken Adachi coming on, and he's going to be talking about a lot of new research that's coming out, particularly some information from James Casbolt, a former MI6 intelligence officer and part of the MK-Ultra mind control program. You've been listening to Evident Footprints. Our guest, Greg Evenson, will hopefully be back again soon. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a wonderful weekend. And special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, as well as Seth Hendrick on the sound. And thanks for getting us back on board, Seth, when we got knocked off the call. In the meantime, I wish all the listening audience much peace, love, and light, and have a good night.